Welcome to another episode of By His Grace podcast. Today, I am with my new friend, Lisa Burkhart Worley. Lisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Misty. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with you.
Thank you. We are going to talk about you growing up without a father. But before we talk about that, when I met you recently, I found out that you were a sports newscaster. Is that correct?
Yes, I was. People have put the label pioneer on me, and which I was kind of offended by at first, but now I'm saying it myself. But I was one of the first in the country. I love sports. I always enjoyed sports. I played college basketball at a small college level, and I was really looking for a career. I was kind of lost, and a guy named Vern Lundquist came to my school to speak to our sports breakfast, and I cannot even tell you what Vern said. I just knew at that moment that I was going to be a sportscaster. I went on to have a 19-year career on national television and on local television. I was in San Antonio, Texas for about 12 years.
That's wonderful. And I think you might have mentioned something happened to you during that time can you talk about that a little bit?
That brought me back. Well, you know, yeah. I was a Christian when I went into that field, but I wasn't really a follower. You know, I think there's a difference between accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, but Lordship is a whole different ballgame. And so I'd gone off into my career and was doing, you know, pretty well. And I was on national television and working in New York City, which is the top market in the entire country. In 1 week's time, I lost both of those jobs. I went from six figures to zero overnight, and I was devastated. I don't know if anyone listening right now has ever lost jobs, but you know, it really does a number on your identity, because if your identity is caught up in your career, you feel a little bit hopeless, and you're not even sure. I wasn't sure that I'd work again in my field. But I went back to that stability that I knew from back in high school when somebody led me to Christ and took me to church, God. And so I went to a church for the first time in a while, and I began participating in a Bible study with a women's Bible study for moms. I had a small child, and so I began studying the book of John, of all things, the love gospel. And I always think that God reached out to me and pulled me back into his fold through the love gospel, because he loved me so much. And so I started studying the word of God, and it was during that time where I finally got connected again that he told me why he had to let me fall like that and lose my jobs, because I was really angry about it and I was upset and I blamed him. And he said, because I gave you this national platform to glorify me and you didn't do it. I had to take it away from you to get your attention.
Wow.
So it was at that moment, Misty, I was so repentant. I really dropped to my knees. I was crying. And I said, if you give me another opportunity as a sportscaster, not only will I give you my career, I'll give you my life. And so that day, I literally surrendered the control of my life to God. And so a week later, of all things, I mean, he heard me, because a week later, I got a call from my agent asking if I wanted to do some freelance reporting for ESPN, which was a career goal of mine.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you hit the nail right on the head. You know, God will strip us away from everything until our identity is in him. For me, it took took me breaking both of my arms and being unable to do anything for an entire year in a house full of boys to just sit and to have my father sing over me and to tell me how loved I was. And that's something that we're going to touch on in today's episode. You grew up not ever knowing your father. So would you share that story with the audience?
Yeah, my father was a doctor, a general practitioner doctor, and he had grown up in Chicago. He was Jewish and ended up in San Antonio, Texas, by way of the Air Force. And he liked San Antonio so much that he stayed there. And he ended up meeting my mother on a blind date. And my mom said she didn't really like him at first. She thought he was a sissy because he had a sequin tie on. But they ended up, you know, getting along really well and got married, and she became pregnant with me. Now, my dad also was a competitive polo player. That's what he did for recreation on the weekends. So every Sunday afternoon, my mom would go watch him play polo. And my half-sister, he was married before my half-sister was there, and as were some of my family members, other family members. And they did that every Sunday afternoon. But then one Sunday afternoon, something went horribly wrong. My dad clutched his chest. He fell off his polo pony, and they discovered later that he had suffered a massive heart attack. My mother jumped into the ambulance, and my half-sister says she was left there alone. And she said it took many, many years of counseling to overcome the events of that day. And she didn't want to have a relationship with me because she didn't want to share about that. So long story short, he died before he got to the hospital at the age of 39.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
2 months later, I was born. So I was born into this fatherless world. My mother never recovered from that sudden death. She was anesthetized on prescription meds. She had several different antidepressants that she was on, which was like a Molotov cocktail, I believe, and because later on they discovered that some of those drugs caused brain damage, and I believe that happened to her. And she would smoke. She was a chain smoker, and she drank. And she did give up the drinking later on, but it was a very hard life for a little girl to growing up. I was off and on with my grandparents because she would have trouble and she couldn't maintain the household. But she was really emotionally absent. So she became my greatest fear, Misty. I feared being anything like my mother. I didn't want to sit around all day. I think that's why I'm an overachiever to this day. I have to be busy, but I just didn't want to be anything like my mom. And that sounds terrible, but it was a very difficult life. I just felt unloved and lonely growing up. And so as I told you, I lost both those jobs up in New York when I was in New York City, and I went to work for ESPN. So this was a pivotal moment for me because I had this opportunity to go back to San Antonio, where I was from and where my mother lived. And the old Lisa would have never done that. No, old Lisa would have not gone backwards in her career. But this new rededicated Lisa to Christ decided to pray about this job opportunity. Should I go back home to San Antonio? Should I stay with ESPN? And what came to me was if they offered me a Sports Center anchoring job, that I would stay at ESPN. But if they didn't, it would be my sign to go back to San Antonio. And sure enough, Misty, they did not offer me a Sports Center anchoring job. They offered me a full-time reporting job. And I always say I was probably the first person to turn down ESPN for a full-time reporting job. But I felt like I was supposed to go home. And what it was all about was my mother. It wasn't about, I did a lot of cool things that year when I went back to sports at my hometown of San Antonio. I covered the Cowboys all the way to the Super Bowl. I went to the Winter Olympics in Lillehammer. The Spurs were in the playoffs. I did a lot of great, fun things. But it was really about honoring my mother for the first time in my life. By that time, she was in a group home. She couldn't maintain her life on by herself. She had to have somebody regulate her medications, so she was there. And so honoring her meant going to see her on a regular basis and providing money for her. And I was still doing Bible study, and I was in a study of the book of Romans. And it was through that study that I realized how much I had been forgiven. I had done a lot of bad things in college. I was very promiscuous. You know, fatherless girls are always trying to find the love of their father. And so I was doing that. I thought boys would satisfy that need that I had, that hole in my heart. And what I found out later, that only God can satisfy that need. And so I was doing some things I shouldn't have done. And I was a wild partier for a while. And I realized that God forgave me for all that out of his love and out of his grace. And who was I not to forgive my own mother? So I forgave her. And that was the beginning of a restoration that was needed. And I began to love her unconditionally. I started to think, what if I had been at the polo fields that day? What if it had been me and my husband collapsed and died in front of my eyes? How would I have reacted? I can't even imagine that. I don't know how traumatizing that could be on a person. And so I began to have a heart for her and see her through God's eyes rather than my own worldly eyes. And so it wasn't until, Misty, I forgave my mother that I could be used in any capacity in ministry. It was after that, when she died, God began to call me into a place to help other women like her, to help women overcome those past wounds, and to give women tools when they're going through some kind of dysfunction. There's so many women today, Misty, that can't seem to escape their past. I remember speaking at a conference in San Antonio, and a woman, she's probably close to 60, came up to me, and she just began to boo-hoo because her father was a sexual abuser, and he abused her sexually, and he went to prison for it. And when he got out, she tried to have a relationship with him. She had forgiven him. Sure enough, he did it again. And she was just heaving, because this was, and it's horrible. And I'm not saying you have to always see these people if they're an abuser. You don't need to do that. You should have healthy boundaries. But for your own self, you've got to forgive them. And here's the other thing. I know I'm going on and on, but we're talking about fatherlessness. One of the things, and somebody may be listening who was fatherless or had a bad father. And one of the things that I had to do, even though my father was dead and I never knew him, was to forgive my father for dying. That was a very important step. I went through this thing called a father ladder. And they asked me if I'd forgiven my mother. I said, yes, I've forgiven my mother. I was just really peaceful about that. But then they said, have you forgiven your dad for dying? How could he help what happened? How could he help that he died? He didn't cause his heart attack. But then I realized I had held a deep, somewhat of a bitterness against him for dying, because it changed my life. I didn't have any kind of, we were in a very nice area of town. I did not have the things the other kids had. I did not have a luxurious life. I was rejected by a lot of kids because we were so poor. I mean, there were a lot of things that happened because my dad died. And I realized I resented him for that. So I had to forgive him for dying.
Well, we share a lot of similarities in our story. My father, I grew up with my father in the home, but my brother died when I was 12. Mm. And that destroyed my mother, who probably had some undiagnosed mental illness. And she became very bitter and very angry. And my father left and worked away from home. He took sales jobs where he never had to be home, because I think he understood the principle that it's better to live on the corner of your rooftop than with a contentious woman. Because my mom was so bitter and so angry. And if we don't deal with that bitterness, that's what happens. But as a result of my father always being gone, I kind of grew up without my dad being there. And mm-hmm. so experienced, some of the same things that you did. But aren't you so grateful that we have a loving father who loves us more than we can even comprehend?
Yes.
You wrote a book about that.
Yes.
So your book is The Only Father I Ever Knew.
That's right.
So tell me about that.
Well, I started this book a long time ago, and I had some other books jump in front of it, and I couldn't understand why I couldn't get it finished. But what I realized is that I had to go through more life experiences with my father in heaven. Yeah, I used to have this wrong image of God as father, because I didn't have a father in my life. And maybe you had this image too, Misty. I thought of him as this distant God, high and lofty in his throne, issuing judgment when he needed to. And I just didn't think of him as a Abba daddy, like a father who wanted to be close to me. And so I think God knew that I needed to change my image of him before I could write this book. But what I did in this book is I wanted people to understand the attributes of God that are father-like. And I, as we wrote this book together, he had me look back on my life and show me some of the places that he was during my own life. I realized he pursued me in high school through my friend, and he introduced himself to me at that point. But there was a story that came up recently that, and I realized he was there even when I didn't know him, yes, when I was a little girl, because I was listening to someone at a conference, and she said she had this imaginary friend. I thought, well, I had an imaginary friend too when I was a little girl. I used to talk to my imaginary friend. And then she gave the imaginary friend a name. And later on in her life, God showed her that, or Jesus showed her that he was that imaginary friend. And I thought to myself, could it be that Jesus was there with me when I was a little girl playing behind the garage, lonely, without really a lot of support from my mother? Could it be that that was Jesus who I was speaking to? I thought it was not out of the realm of imagination. But I also talk about God's discipline in my book. He disciplined me several times when I tried to kind of go off the path, and he prevented me from doing some things perhaps that I would have continued to do, like breaking the law. I went over a swimming pool wall when it was after hours. You know, that was trespassing, and the police were staking it out that night. Can you believe it? So I was like, what rotten luck. But then later on, I realized that it was God. He said, oh no, here she goes again. I've got to stop this. And I just talk about his forgiveness and his protection over our lives. I've had a lot of near-death experiences in my life, and I went down in a news helicopter once. You know, we had to auto-rotate, and I've been hit by a car, but I lived through all that, and he showed me, you know what, I took the brunt of that impact for you. And so just his voice and how to hear his voice. And it's not about my story only. I included 16 other stories from fatherless people throughout the book. We interweave my story and their story. And I have a seminary degree, so I also included scriptural proof of God as Father and some of the promises of God as Father throughout the book. And so I really feel like it's a good book for anyone who has struggled with father wounds. I did an accompanying Bible study called Knowing the Father. We're working on the videos right now, but it's out. And I go through the stages that I think God as Father does in our lives. And first he pursues us. Then we repent and he forgives us. Then he teaches us. I was teaching Sunday school for about 10 years. I tell everybody I was in the school zone for a while, you know, because I needed to learn along with these children. And then he started the healing process. He began to heal me of those wounds from the past. And then after I was healed, he began to build me up so that he could use me as a teacher in his kingdom and as an encourager in his kingdom. And then I began to see the love that he had for me and that he has for everyone. I would like to think I'm his only daughter, but I'm not. You're his daughter, Misty, and anyone listening to this broadcast is his daughter. He loves everyone equally and unconditionally, and he desires to know us and for us to know him. The most exciting time every day for me is the morning time where I just sit there in his presence and I praise him and I read his word and I pray. That is, when I don't have a good long quiet time, I feel like my day doesn't go as well because I want to spend that time.
I am right there with you. And one of the verses that I've been meditating on recently is nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I think that once that gets deep down within us and we understand that whether we're good or bad or we're following him or not following, nothing separates us from his love for us because he has that great of a love for us that he was willing to take it all the way to death just so that we could have eternal life. So
yes, the Bible talks about that he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. I did some research on sparrows. There are thousands of species of sparrows. I mean, there are probably millions of sparrows in the world, millions upon millions, and he knows when one falls to the ground. And he knows when we're troubled and when we fall to the ground, when we're in pain and when we're brokenhearted, he knows when we fall to the ground. And that's why he provides people along the way that will reach out to us. That's why he wants to speak to us intimately through his word. I just feel like so many times when he's seen my heartache about something, we still have problems, even though we were, you know, connected to him. We still have, as we're humans, we have problems. We're in a fallen world, but he works it all together for good, doesn't he? That's a promise in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
That's right. To his purposes. That's right. I love that verse and I can definitely camp on that one. And speaking of which, are there other verses that I always ask people when they're on the show, do you have a life verse, or in the writing of this book, is there just one verse that really speaks to your heart?
Yeah, the one I signed the book with is short, but it speaks to me, and it's Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, because, you know, my mother was a widow. Is God in his holy dwelling, a defender of widows? And he sees when we're fatherless. And so he just takes us on. You know, sometimes this is crazy, but I think, gosh, I would probably give up my earthly father again if it meant not knowing my heavenly father. And I often wonder if my earthly father, you know, had lived and I had all the privileges of being a doctor's daughter, would I have sought God as father like I have, and so, you know, pursued him and accepted his pursuit? Would I have done it? I'm not so sure. You know, there are other verses that I love, Misty, and one of those is 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And then John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And then 1 John 4:8, God is love.
He is love. I love that.
He invented love, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he, you know, we have to understand, and that's why we have to read the Word of God, is we have to understand that he is a good God. Yeah. He loves us, and he's not a God who wants to zap people when they do wrong. He is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish, the word says. And so we just have to believe what's said in the word of God, or, you know, or not. But I think it's important to believe. It's important to take all of the word of God and put it into effect in our own lives.
Absolutely. Well, I always close with this question as well. If you could sit down and talk to somebody who has grown up without a father, what would you have wanted somebody to say to you, or what would you say to them based on your life experience? What wisdom would you pour into them?
Well, I wish I would have known this sooner, but I would say to someone, look, you may not have the love of your earthly father, but here's the thing. Your heavenly father wants you to know him personally. He loves you so much. You are the apple of his eye. He wants to talk to you every day. He wants a relationship with you every day. He wants you to go to him and sit on his lap and give him all your concerns and ask him to help you with the problems that you have and the areas where you just don't feel adequate. He desires to be close to you. And I wish that someone really would have said that to me as a younger woman. I had to find this out on my own through the study, you know, through the John study and subsequent studies that I went through. I've got a whole shelf of Bible studies that I've done over the years, and it was a process for me. But I'd like to save somebody that effort. Maybe somebody's listening now who just needs to hear that right now. Maybe no one's ever said that to them, but that is really what I want people to know. God desires to be close and desires a relationship with you. He does speak. Can I just say one more thing? Do we have
time?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember being at I'm a part of this organization, Christian Women in Media, that puts on the Global Media Summit that you were at, where we met. And I was at the board retreat, and I was talking to a woman who had, she's on the board and she has a book, and but she was a biology and a chemistry major in college. And I thought, wow, that is cool that you could do science. My father was a doctor, but I was horrible at those subjects. I was not meant to be a doctor. And I clearly heard it came from left field. I'm telling you, I always know when it's the, when it's God really speaking to me. He said, you may not be a doctor, but I gifted you to heal. Mm. And I just stopped in my tracks because my Heavenly Father had just spoken to me and told me how he had created me. And he was using all of these troubles to help other women heal. So he wants to speak to you. A lot of people think, "Whoa, God's speaking." Well, yes, he does. And it's generally a message that you never would have thought of yourself.
Yeah. But he also speaks to us through his word. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the final revelation, and Jesus, right. In John, we know that Jesus is the word. So even he speaks to us through his word, even though we may not think that that's him speaking to us, but that's his great love letter to us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but
and,
you're
and
right.
The Bible says the word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that happens is when you read the word and you see this neon sign around a passage. I mean, you don't know why it's jumping out at you, but it's because he's speaking to you through that particular passage.
Yes, yes. And he also speaks in that still small voice. So yes. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on By His Grace today. Where can people find out more about you, and where can they find your book?
Well, my books are all on Amazon. I have a book to help with female insecurity called If I Only Had, Wrapping Yourself in God's Truth During Storms of Insecurity, as well as some children's books and a devotional. So they should all be on Amazon, but they're also on my website, which is pearlsofpromiseministries.com, pearlsofpromiseministries.com. I'm also on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, at Pearls of Promise. So we'd love for you to like our page. We always post the links to our blogs that we have. And we have something called Pop Talk that we're doing on Wednesdays. And so that's from 11 to 12, and that's live on Facebook. And it goes to YouTube after we edit it. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff going on with our ministry, and it's all about helping you.
Love it. Love, love, love it. We'll put all of that in the show notes so you can be sure to find Lisa, follow Lisa, grab her books, and being encouraged like I was encouraged today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Misty.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.